Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again. I thank you for joining us today for this study that we're going to keep on doing and witnessing here. I want to remind you that you're this is a down-to-earth, like we sitting with one another and knowing one another for 100 years, sitting and talking with one another in a relaxed way. I like being professional. The Lord said, let everything be done decently and in order. And I think we're pretty orderly with this. We're talking about God's Word, and we're being serious about it and studying it. And we can be friends, and we can be brothers and sisters in the Lord and show the Lord respect and enjoy ourselves at the same time. And we've been talking about witnessing. And to begin this, I told you I was going to give you the scriptures from last time, and I don't exactly remember where we left off, so I'm going to give you some scriptures here from the last heading that we, what are God's requirements for you to be a witness for Christ? That's what I think that we stopped at last time. Let me go ahead and give you them, and if anything, I'm giving you too many of them, and if it overlaps the one that you already have, just read them twice. All right, we got Esther chapter 8, verse 6, Romans chapter 9, verse 1 through 3, Romans chapter 10, verse 1, Jude 21 and 22, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, Psalm chapter 126 and verse 5. John chapter 3:16. Let's see, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. Jude 23. Philippians chapter 2 verse 15. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And we got Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And then Matthew chapter 22 and verse 1 through 10. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And finally, and lastly, Psalm chapter 126, verse 6. I believe that'll wind up all, that'll update you all the way to the to where we are and where we're going to begin today. I think it will. So let's move on and recap just a little bit what we've been doing here. We've been talking about study number 23, the letter W in the ABCs of Christian growth, and talking about witnessing. Now, witnessing is specifically for born again people that know the Lord, specifically for the New Testament, even though the Old Testament did speak of the Lord to one another, but specific witnessing, and what we're talking about is New Testament soul winning and New Testament witnessing, and speaking of the gospel of the grace of God, the Pauline gospel. That's the gospel that we have today as far as being under the blood of Christ and Christ's death, burial, and resurrection in 1 Corinthians. Now, we're talking about witnessing, and we're specifically talking to the saved, to born-again people, and that's who we are. Now, things are going to change as soon as the Lord comes and gets us and takes us out of here. Things are going to change having to do with all that, and we'll get into that in another lesson as we go. And that's what's wonderful about God's Word, is it just blends together. If you took you both your hands and just put them together palm to palm, and then took your fingers and just folded them over real easy, and that's how the Word of God is. It just blends together just as perfectly as can be. God the Holy Ghost wrote it. It's God's words. It's supernatural. God's words are supernatural. I don't care what anybody says. I know they are. And the Holy Ghost has taught me that they are, and he's taught you that they are. Just believe him. Don't let anybody ever talk you out of God's words, no matter what. If the enemy's going to try to attack you, it's going to be whatever it might be when he comes at you, if he comes at you, which every person eventually gets some of it. He's going to come at you, and the word's going to be involved in it somewhere, somehow. He's going to try to take God's word away from you and believe in God's words. That's one thing that's probably, well, I don't want to say the most difficult, but one thing that we have to strive for to keep is God's words, because the devil knows that if he can get God's words away from you and get them out of your mind and get them out of your sight and have you put that Bible up on the shelf and forget about it for a while, the world, the flesh, and the devil will take over. Every time. It's not if it will take over, it's that it will take over. If you're not constantly getting a ration of God's word and studying it and learning to love it and getting a good dose of it every day, you can't stay spiritual, because the world, especially today in 2021, things have waxed worse and worse and worse. And I'm not just saying that to be a negative kind of person, but if you tell the truth about things in the world right now, unless you just kidding yourself like a lot of people do, are negative. There's a lot of negative things going on, and the Lord said that was the way it's going to be. And that's the way it is. So don't let anybody snatch that word away from you. And you're not, because you're right here listening and getting involved with God's word and learning. So let's learn. Witnessing. We talked about, what does witnessing mean? We've talked about, are witnessing and soul winning the same thing? We've went over why should you be a witness and a soul winner, and quite a few things in there. It brings joy, and it's caring about people, and that there's a reckoning going to come about, and that there's a need for people to get saved. There was a need. I'm glad somebody came along with the Word of God for me, aren't you? I'm glad that the Lord just didn't leave me out there and forget about me just let me die and go to hell. I'm glad he didn't do that, aren't you? We talked about is witnessing the duty of every Christian. We talked about how often we ought to witness. And then what's God's requirements for you to be a witness? Remember? I think that was the last one that we did last recording. Today we're going to start out with a new category in this study of witnessing, about four steps to a soul-winning witness. Four steps. Now, remember when I was talking when we started this out, times change when it comes to the church age. The Philadelphia era, they kept God's word, the Bible said. And there are Christians today that keep God's word. But that particular church in the Philadelphia era, in Revelation, where the Bible talks about, in the Philadelphia age, that is, as far as the church, they kept God's word, and they done things, they said they went about everywhere witnessing. Now, and the Philadelphia, in the 1900s and prior to that, they were some soul-winning people. They cared about God. Now, the things were different back then, but as these past couple hundred years have passed and come up to today, America's booted God out, told him, get out, we don't want you no more. And the world doesn't want God. Nobody wants God around anymore, except for the people that love him. But as far as the church goes, the church is going apostate. It's turning away from God, and turning away from the things of the Lord, turning away from his word. And it's not the world that's messing things up now. It's the church. And you say, how can you say that, brother? Because God said it. God said that's what's going to happen. And that it's going to, the church is going to go into apostasy, and it's going to stop soul winning, stop talking to people about the truth, is what we're talking about. In other words, the church is going to turn away from the truth. They're going to have itching ears, and they're not going to want the truth, and not going to be able to handle the truth anymore, and not going to put up with the truth anymore. Now, when I say truth, I'm talking about what saith the Lord. Not what saith such and such, or what saith such and such, or how many people voted this, or what the council says, or what the or what when the council comes together, or what the staff says, or whatever. What does God say? Now, that's when what real church is. The church is people. Church is an organism. Church is an assembly. Remember we talked about that? And when we all come together, we come together to hear the truth of the Word of God. Now, what is truth? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. The Lord knows your heart, and He knows whether you want truth or whether you want to be deceived. He knows whether you're walking and you desire and you want truth in your heart and you want to know what real truth is and you're sincere about it. I'm not talking about being perfect, because that's impossible for us. But we can. The Lord said for us to strive for it, to strive to walk like the Lord. And the Lord knows our heart. He said if there be a willing mind. Now, if we're willing, our heart will be in it. The Lord said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So we're supposed to keep our hearts and know where our hearts are and know what our hearts are doing and what our hearts are thinking and where our hearts are trying to go and what we have to keep our hearts from running after. But the truth is what people do not want anymore. Let me give you an example. There's people on this planet right now that are running around, and they were born males. And they're running around trying to convince people that they're females. And they're saying it so much that they're even getting the government to back them up. Is that truth? What does the Bible say about it? You see, and they even got people that are going to court and having the judges and even the Supreme Court talking about this stuff. And voting about it, and talking about it, and hashing it out in a courtroom. Are you kidding me? Now, that's how far we've got away from the truth. That wouldn't even have been heard of when I was a boy. And that's only 60 years ago. Well, yeah. But that's only 60 years ago. There's people walking around here on earth today that are saying that they have the right to be wicked. That they can be wicked and they can do wicked things and they have the right to do that. Is that what the Bible says? Is that the truth? Now, I'm talking about truth. I'm not talking about how we come together and we compromise and we hash this thing out and let's all come together and let's be brothers and let's just bring all the religions together. Is that truth? Now, I'm talking about people that want truth. And the Bible says if you want truth, the only place you're going to get raw, down to the root truth is from His Word. And we know that. And the people in the church that desire to have that kind of truth, the raw root of God's Word, what saith the Lord? I'm going to believe what God says, no matter how ridiculous this world, no matter how comic book-like and wicked this world gets, I'm going to believe what God says. Is it okay to lie? Well, the courts have gotten in such a way to where they'll hash out a lie to see. They're not looking for what the truth is. They're looking for, who told the worst lie, which lie is the best. I mean, it's not about what's truth anymore. But what does God say? Is it wrong to lie? Yes, it's wrong to lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not lie. So I'm talking about the raw truth. I'm talking about who wants that. The church has gotten far away from that. And the church is getting farther and farther away from God's Word. Don't let that be you. You stay in God's Word and stay close. Whatever it takes for you to stay close to God's Word, do it. The enemy's going to try to steal that Word from you, and if he can get that Word from you, anything and everything goes from there. And it can get your mind and it can get your heart and steal your love from God, and you'll be just as wicked as anybody else on this planet, and as far away from God you still be saved on your way to heaven. You just be wicked on your, you just be getting your hind end tore up from the Lord. So that's what I'm talking about. Now, when it comes to soul winning, we was talking about a systematic way of soul winning, and in the earlier, before time got like it is right now with the church in the situation that it is right now, soul winning was changes as the church changes, and as wickedness comes into the church, and carnality comes into the church, and flesh comes into the church, and how dedicated the church is to carrying out what's important and what's not important. Some churches think it's important to have bingo instead of soul winning. Some churches think it's that to have a movie night is important now. A whole bunch of different kind of stuff. I mean, some churches think that it's okay, it's right to come on in, and the kind of thing that we have today is 45 minutes of Christian rock with a band up there singing with 14 televisions all around us, all around the place, and just have the dark on and the lights on and the strobe lights on and all that, and then 15 minutes of talking. What's the truth? Do you get enough truth out of that to survive spiritually? Not me. Not me. I know how the devil works. The Lord said not to be ignorant of his devices. Don't think that the devil can't trick you, because he can. But he can't trick that Bible. You stay with God's word, and you be devoted in your allegiance to God's word, no matter what anybody says, no matter what they try to do to take that Bible away from you, don't let it happen. And you stay close to God's word, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. Now, when it comes to soul winning, what we're going to talk about today is four steps to a soul-winning witness. Now, this applies to a church. This is going to apply to an assembly that takes soul winning seriously. And they love going out and winning people on purpose and try to get people not necessarily into the church, but into the body of Christ. Get them saved. And then try to give them a place to come and worship and fellowship in the assembly. But there are people that are home churching, because they don't have a church to go to, because some of the churches in their area are so apostate that you would become fleshly to go to them. Yeah. I said stay close to the Word of God, not to a church. Close to the Word of God. If you go to an assembly and they're not preaching the Word of God, and you and the Lord tells you, get out of there, get out of there. If it's more flesh in there than there are the Word of God, and the fleshly things are being honored more than God's words are being honored, get out. Go home, read your Bible at home. Get on a study lesson and find somebody that's preaching the Word of God, that's teaching the Word of God and teaching the truth, and get involved in that. God don't tell us, He says for us to come together, but He's talking about come together around His Word and around the truth. Okay? Now, there's plenty of good churches. There's churches out there, but they're getting a whole bunch of space in between every one of them now. But whether you're going to an assembly or whether you're not going to assembly, you can still do what we're going to talk about today. Now, the most common illustration of soul winning found in the Bible is that of a plant. You know, like a plant. Not like a plant that you dig a hole and put down in the earth and water it and take care of it, and it grows. That's what the Bible compares soul winning and the steps and being a witness, what we're talking about today. In Psalm chapter 126, let me get that to you right quick. In Psalm chapter 126, verse 6, the Bible says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, of course, that's talking about going out and planting and going out and soul winning. But it's talking about, you notice how the Lord is using bearing precious seed. And the Bible says, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You see, the Bible compares and symbolically talks about soul winning as planting and sowing. And that's how we're going to talk about it today, because that's the way the Scriptures talk about it. Now, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, let's just read some Scripture and let God the Holy Ghost bring this to make some sense out of this for us, because He's the one that wrote it. And He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. There you go. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He was talking in Matthew there. He's talking to the Jews, and he was giving illustrations. And of course, I won't get into a whole bunch of that, but he's talking to the Jews, and he's talking about Jewish stuff right there. But we can use it as an example symbolically about soul winning. Now, the very first step of soul winning, there's four steps to it. If you just want to set it down in a systematic way, like we talked about before, soul winning is from your heart. You're caring about souls. You try to be a light to the world in your neighborhood. You walk you walk like the Lord walks. Your testimony is right because your heart is right. You're in fellowship with the Lord. You're living a life that's pleasing unto the Lord. Then you have the capability of letting your light so shine before God, before folks. So the first thing about step one is to go. That's where the enemy gets a lot of people, is keeps them from going because of a guilty conscience or whatever it might be, not reading their Bible, not getting enough of God's Word, that they can't be spiritual. It could be anything. But the first thing is that you got to go. You got to go. John chapter 4 and verse 35 through 38, the Bible says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. See, we're still talking about planting and having a harvest and all that. Remember, now just get this in your mind, that the Scriptures are symbolically talking about planting and harvesting and sowing and this, that, and the other. But we're symbolically talking about soul winning and getting people into the body of Christ and into heaven. Say not ye, therefore, or there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Now, what the Lord's talking about there is that there's several different things. I don't want to put that. Several different categories of bearing fruit when you're soul winning. You could be the first one that goes out and sows the seed. You tell people about, remember we talked about that? You just give them a track, or you say praise the Lord in front of them, or you say the Lord Jesus Christ's name in front of a crowd of people. I mean, you think that stuff ain't spiritual. And I mean, you're a spiritual person and you're walking in the Spirit, and you're a light to everybody that's around you. And when you say something spiritual, it goes out spiritual and they receive it spiritually. And some people will look at that light immediately and desire it. And the Lord said that there are several different categories, and you can be involved in every one of them, but one of them is sowing, going out and just telling people about, that could be people in your neighborhood and people, your friends and stuff like that, just telling people about the Lord and them seeing your testimony. That's sowing. And then watering, the Bible talks about watering. And somebody else has already sowed the seed in them. I mean, God the Holy Ghost is already dealing with them. They've already heard some scripture, and it's in them. But now they're walking along, and somebody, you water it. You say, well, you know, that they say you get into a spiritual conversation with somebody, and you add to that seed. You water that seed. You say something else spiritual. You do some kindness to them, you see. Just anything. Anything is a witness. And what that does is water. It waters that seed. And then the Bible talks about reaping, harvesting. You actually win that person to the Lord. Well, see, you wasn't involved in the beginning of that whenever the light first shined on those folks spiritually, and you didn't have nothing to do with the watering, but you came along there and the Lord let you reap that soul. You see, that's what the Lord's talking about there. But step one says that we should go. That we should go. Now, there's such thing in assemblies and churches, not so much today, but there are still some today. Good, fundamental Bible-believing churches and preaching Bible-believing King James churches. And they're preaching the Word of God. And they still have a systematic way of going out and soul winning. And when I say systematic, I'm not talking about orthodox kind of stuff. I'm talking about there's a time we all meet, there's a time we go out and soul win, and we do it on purpose, and we do it for the Lord, and we pray, and we do it, and we go, and it's just doing it that way, and there's advantages to doing it that way, because then the devil can't get in the middle of it. He can't get in it and stop it somehow, because everybody knows we're going to meet on Thursday, we're going to meet at 7 o'clock at the church, we're going to divide up, and we're going to, this is the area we're going to go, we're going to knock on doors and invite people to church, but talk about their souls to them and give them the gospel and try to win them to the Lord and do it on purpose. That's what I'm talking about. But not orthodox, my father beat your father at domino, you know, blabbity, blabbity, blab, blab, blab. Not any of that kind of stuff. I'm talking about the truth. I'm talking about sincerity. I'm talking about people's hearts that hurt for other people's souls back behind their eyes, and you know that soul is going to end up somewhere, like David said, and then I remembered their end. Everybody has an end. And if we can keep that in mind, and it's good advice and good practice for us to remind ourselves always that this life ain't it. This is not the end. The end is when everybody goes through that eternity window, when they leave that body and they go into eternity. That's either their end or their beginning as far as eternity goes. One of two places, the Lord says, that soul goes. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, or you lift up your eyes in hell, being in torments. That's what the Bible says. But to go. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6 through 8, it says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now, we remember that part of soul winning. We know that in our hearts, that it's God the Holy Ghost that brings people to the Lord. And He uses us as instruments to do it. But if you had to answer the question, who brought you to the Lord, you know who all was involved in it, but you know who the root of that truth is that brought you to Him. It was God's grace and God the Holy Ghost that brought you, wasn't it? It sure was. But God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So see, we're working along with the Lord as it being a privilege and an honor to be able to do the Lord's work, to go out and get other people into heaven. Somebody put labor out. Somebody sowed a seed in you. Somebody watered that seed. And the Lord won you, however you got won, and brought you into the kingdom. Brought you into, not the kingdom, but brought you into, even though there is a kingdom, but brought you into the body of Christ. Planteth, and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive of his own reward according to his own labor. So, soul winning is laborious. So is putting a garden in. You sow, you go clean all the rocks out of the ground, and you plow that stuff up, and you clean all the rocks out of it, and get all the weeds out of it, and then you go sow it. And then you water it and you keep it and you harvest it. There's labor in it. And that's the way the scriptures talk about soul winning. It's laborious. I don't know if that's a word or not. It is now. We just made it. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. The Bible says God gives the increase, but some people plant, some people water. And it says neither is, we don't pull our shoulders back and say, well, I'm the one that told him about this. And that. Paul and Apollos had a problem with that because people in the church began to arguing about, well, I was saved from Paul. Well, I was saved from Apollos. And Paul had to straighten that mess up. And that's what he's talking about a little bit right here. He's correcting a little bit. He says, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. We're the body of Christ. We're working for the same thing. And every man shall receive of his own reward according to his labor. That the Lord's even going to reward us for caring about souls. But you got to go. Now, there's several steps that we're going to undertake here and to get a harvest. And we're comparing it to farming, to planting, if you will. Well, the first thing is you got to get out of the house and get in the field. Get out of the house and get in the field. No farmer reaps a harvest apart from a lot of preparation and hard work. And it is work in saving people's souls. Man, a human being is the hardest person in the world to work with. You can work with a whole farm full of animals easier than you can work with people. Because we're sinners. And we're rebellious. And we don't want nothing to do with God until we decide. And going and being spiritual in a dark world is not easy. But it wasn't easy when somebody was coming to get you either, was it? It wasn't with me either. But a farmer reaps a harvest. He don't reap no harvest apart from a lot of preparation and hard work. Now, you're never going to win a soul for Christ without this preliminary step. And it's got to be first. How can you? You got to go. You got to go. Now, I don't know how you go, but, I mean, I told you before, I write little tracts up and put my testimony in it and print them tracts right here at my desk at home. And when I go to the store, no matter what I'm doing, when I go to the store, I carry 20, 30 tracts with me and I pass them out. And then I make that a regular thing that I do, or when I try to remember it, and a regular thing that I do and keep tracts in my hand, or you know what I mean, have them in my pocket. A lot of times I get out and get halfway to inside the store and done forgot them. The devil make you try to, he'll try to make you forget them and everything else. He plays, he fights you all the way through it. He knows whether or not you're sincere about soul winning or not. He don't mess with people that are lying to themselves and lying to everyone and trying to pretend and fakers. He knows who wants to win souls and who wants to labor for the Lord. And if that's you, which I'm sure it is, because you wouldn't be sitting here doing this with us and studying God's Word if you wasn't sincere. So I ain't saying that's what you could do, but I'm saying that's one thing you can do is just print you up some tracts, write your testimony out, and tell how you got saved in so many words that'll fit on a one-fold tract, little booklet-like thing. You know what a tract is. And then put your name on there and not be ashamed of it and put your email on there and let people get a hold of you and tell you they got saved if they do. But, I mean, you can do that. And that's sowing, brothers and sisters. That's sowing. That's planting that seed out there. You know how many people read them things? You know how refreshing that is to hear something, some news like that in a dark, dark world like it is right now? That the Lord Jesus Christ and God is still real. But to go. Psalm 126:6, we read that a minute ago. It says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed." Now, what is precious seed? We'll find out further in our study right here what the seed is. But the precious seed is what you take. It's precious seed. If you don't have a good seed, you don't have good seed, you're not going to get any fruit. No matter how much you water it, if it's not good, solid seed. "Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." That's a promise from the Lord, if you go out with the right kind of seed. Now, the Bible says in 126:6, and we're talking about step number one, is go. All right? He that what? He that goeth forth. He that goeth forth. Psalm 126:6. He that goeth forth. He that goeth. Now, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." To every creature. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And preach the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ commanding that. Go ye into all the world. Now, the gospel has been, I forget how many countries now, 180-something countries now, 180-something, I don't remember, but I've read it, but I don't remember, but lots of countries. And that Bible is in every one of them, and in over, I think it was over 200 languages, the King James Bible been turned into. And people have the Word of God. It's all over the place. But we got to go. Go ye into all the world. And Christians have been doing that and being faithful to the Lord. And the Lord ain't been having to crack a whip to get it done because people love him and want to labor for him. And that's the reason we ought to do it. And no matter how, I mean, it ain't right and wrong unless you ain't got good seed. If you got the wrong kind of seed, like Jehovah Witness seed, like Mormon seed, like Catholic seed, and stuff like that, you're not going to get a good harvest off of it because it's the wrong kind of seed. You got to have the truth. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Now, in Acts chapter 5 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." Now, again, in Acts right there, that's when the transition was going over from faith and works, going over to the Lord Jesus Christ's gospel, Pauline gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is starting to come out right here. He said, "Go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." So he said, go, So you see there in Psalm 126 and Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and Acts chapter 5, verse 20, step number one to soul winning and to having a good harvest and planting is to go. You got to get in the field. And go in the temple and speak all the words to the people of this life. Now, this lesson will be useless to you. We're talking about soul winning, and we have for the past, five or six lessons. And it's going to be useless to you unless you determine in your heart that you're going to take the first step in reaching precious souls. It takes courage. But it is truth, isn't it? The Bible says God's word is truth. The Bible says in Proverbs, and chapter 22 and verse 13, it says, "The slothful man saith, there's a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets." In other words, start making excuses, silly, foolish excuses about not wanting to go. A man, just say, "I ain't doing it." Because if it's in your heart that you ain't going to do it, then you ain't going to do it. Period. And there are people like that. And there's people that have been saved and they're interested in this world, like Demas. And they want the things of the world, and they're going to pursue the things of the world and wait for Jesus to come and go on up there and be in heaven. But they're going to be sad at the judgment seat of Christ out of all the rewards that they could have had and they lost because of their behavior down here and not doing anything for the Lord and acting like an idiot down here. We're supposed to be waiting on the Lord. That's the main interest of the body of Christ right now, is that we're waiting on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're waiting for Him to come and get us. That's what we're doing. And in the meantime, we're supposed to be spiritually minded and walk in the Spirit and try to get other people saved and get them to heaven. Because there is going to be a time that it's going to be too late. There is going to be such thing as being too late. Now, you say, "Well, Brother Thurman, how may I go?" Well, like we were talking about before, some churches have set times of visitation when people go out into the community to do either one of two things, either knock on doors and invite people to the church and services, which is not a bad thing, but nowadays, depending on where you live, knocking on people's doors might not be such a good idea. Because as much lack of trust and much violence is going on, a lot of neighborhoods are looking at people that are strangers walking around in the neighborhood now. Whereas in the 70s, 40, 50 years ago, it didn't matter because you left your doors wide open and your windows open because people weren't it wasn't that dangerous. But the Lord said that perilous times are going to come, dangerous times, and they are. But you can still witness. You can go out and witness. I mean, it ain't been that long ago, me and Brother Whitfield, we was out there, soul winning. And if you're out there for the Lord will protect you. And if you do it, don't be foolish about it. If you're going to go like that, then go and be serious about it and go walk in the Spirit and be spiritual, as spiritual as you know how to be, and go out there and talk to people, and God the Holy Ghost will keep you safe. I don't guess it's any worse now. I said that, you know, even though things are getting dangerous, God the Holy Ghost can protect you no matter how dangerous it is. But there are some situations that you got to watch out for. And you got to be careful about, because things are changing. But there are churches that have set times of visitation and people that go out into the community and they do one or two things. They either knock on doors and invite people to church, or they visit the homes and of the people and try to win them to the Lord. What we did, me and Brother Whitfield, we just went and knocked on doors, and when they answered, we just kind of let God the Holy Ghost lead us into it, what we need to do, what we need to talk about, depending on how people felt. You know, if he had a hard day at work and he wants to get him a bath and get some supper and everything else, and you're probably not going to hold much of his attention. You know, you just feel it out and let God the Holy Ghost do it. and make sure that when you leave, he has the gospel in his hands. And if the Lord shows you that it's okay to go ahead and pull your Bible out and get busy with him right there, then do it. That's the way soul winning is. I mean, you don't never know. You go from plant to plant to plant. And depending on how that plant's doing is how you water it. Now, another thing is that all the visits are conducted. One thing's important is if you're going to go soul winning like that, one thing's important is to go two by two. Don't go by yourself. I mean, when you're passing out tracts and stuff like that, like we was talking about a while ago, that's different. But if you're going to go soul winning, systematic soul winning, go two by two. Get your soul winning partner that, and y'all pray together and y'all pray about the people that you, I mean, it's a blessing to do it that way. It really is. Get you somebody that you love, a brother or sister, or two women or two men, and y'all go out, and maybe even your wife or your husband, and y'all go out together. And but the young and the inexperienced Christian needs to team up with somebody that's mature in the Lord and has been and done it before and knows how everything goes about. Because when you go out soul winning, you're going into battle and you're going into spiritual confrontation. The devil's going to be waiting on you out there. The devils are. And the unclean spirits are going to be there. And they are going to fight with you. And you'll see it when you're there. You'll know it. But if somebody young wants to go, 16, 17, 18 years old, wants to know how to do it, take them along as a silent partner. And just let them stand there and learn. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. Another thing about going, in addition, you need to sit down and make a list of the people in your own circle. That's a good thing to do. The people that you know. There's a lot of folks that you know I don't know. I've never met. I mean, there's probably more, not probably, there's more people on this earth that we don't know than we do know. Make a list of the people in your own circle of influence and who are lost, or at least who you think is lost. It's not disrespectful to think of people as saved or unsaved. I would rather somebody think of me as unsaved. Well, not now, because I'm living for the Lord. I wouldn't want anybody to think that, but you know what I mean. I would rather somebody think of me as unsaved and try to win me to the Lord. One of the most exciting things and the most joyful things about being a Christian is that another Christian come up and try to win you to the Lord, and they don't know that you're saved yet. That's got some joy in it right there, and you have good fellowship at that kind of time too. But sit down and make your list out of relatives, neighbors, friends, people that you work with, stuff like that. And they're all going to spend eternity somewhere. Then make you a plan. You and your partner, make you a plan how you're going to do it. You know, whether you're going to try to both go at this time or go at that time, or how to witness to them and to win them to Christ. That's just that simple. Planning to win people to the Lord. Yeah. Anybody that has been born again will tell you that it... Most people will tell you there was more than one approach to them, no matter how it was, about getting saved. People come to them on purpose, or gave them a track on purpose, or witnessed to them, or invited them to church on purpose. On purpose. Planned it. I mean, even people out just passing out tracts to just anybody and everybody, they still look you in the face and see you and hand you one on purpose. You see, you could do the same thing. But remember, very important, it's God the Holy Ghost who draws them to Christ. If you're walking in the Spirit and you're sincere with the Lord and you're living a life that's pleasing before the Lord and you're willing to labor and want to labor, and you get out there, God the Holy Ghost will do, His power will do everything. You'll see. He will. He promises, and He will. He will do it. The second thing that step one is to go. Well, the second thing about farming or about putting in a garden or planting or soul winning is to sow. You not only go, but when you go with seed. You go with seed. Now, you may need to go out of your way to help somebody. You know, somebody might need some help, and you have to go out of your way. You sow to get them. To get them wanting what you got. You may need to go out of your way to help somebody. You may need to have to invite somebody into your home for a meal or something like that. You may have to win the confidence and trust of a person first. But before they can be saved, the seed's got to be sown. The seed's got to be sown. Now, like we was talking about in Psalm chapter 126 and verse 6, we've read it several times, but let's read it again. It says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed." Bearing precious seed. You have to have the seed. You have to have precious seed. And we'll see more about that in just a minute. In Luke, the Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, it says, "Now the parable is this." This is the Lord Jesus Christ talking about the parable when the apostles asked him to explain it to them. He said, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God." Remember that. Very, very important. The seed is not how fancy you can try to manipulate people to get them to accept Christ and come to church and come play some air hockey and come ride the church bus and let's go out to Dairy Queen and blah, 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 blah. The seed is the Word of God. If you don't have the Word of God, you're not going to get a spiritual harvest and you're not going to get a soul. Not a genuine soul. The Word of God is the one, is the seed. Jesus said that. Now, the parable is this. And he said the first thing is that the seed is the Word of God. When you go to sow, you go to sow the precious seed. And the seed is the Word of God. You can go talk all day about football, go talk about all day about this and that and the other, but if you don't involve the Word of God in it, you're not going to sow. God's word is what goes down into that heart. It goes down into that heart and it stays and it goes in there and boy, it sure does work. And you close the door and say goodbye to them, they go in there and sit down on the TV or reading a book or going to bed or taking a shower, whatever they're doing, and that word is working. That seed is in there. That seed is in there. You see? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, quoted a while ago, the Bible says in chapter 1, verse 23 through 25, it says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible." How? "By the word of God." People tell you that you can get saved outside the word of God are lying to you. The Bible says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth." The Word of God is alive. It lives. Did you see that? "Which liveth and abideth forever." And then it says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." You getting this? The scripture says the incorruptible seed is what? It said don't take corruptible seed, take incorruptible seed. And then Jesus said that the seed is the word of God. So the incorruptible seed is what? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Not a Mormon book. Not a Catholic pamphlet. Not a this, not a that. The Word of God. Remember I was talking to you about making a tract with your own testimony on it? But then it said, be sure that you put the gospel on it. How to be saved. How you got saved. And what you heard that you responded to. You responded to the gospel. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. It's God's words. That's how you got saved. That's how everybody else got saved, was by responding to God's words, responding to that seed, that incorruptible seed. Somebody planted the word of God in you. Somebody come along and watered it, and it grew. And somebody come along there and harvested you. And you're in the body of Christ because of that. Never, ever to be out of it again. Isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful. But you got to sow. And you got to take the right kind of seed. The right kind of seed. Now, it's absolutely imperative that you use the Bible when witnessing and leading a soul to Christ. Don't be ashamed of God's word. The Bible says, the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You got nothing to be ashamed of talking to somebody about the word of God. Now, there's a lot of people out there that'll try to make you ashamed. You ought not be out here doing that. If we want that, we'll come and get it, blah, but no, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Nobody's going to come to the Word of God. The Word of God, nobody's going to come unless they're drawn by the Holy Ghost. And that's why you're there, is to plant that seed and get that Word in them. But anybody tells you that kind of trash, they're lying. No, they might be searching. If they're searching spiritually, they won't give you a hard time. They'll listen. Now shut up and listen. It's imperative that you take the Bible and take God's Word. And when I'm talking about the Bible, you remember when we started this lesson, I told you it's a King James Bible. God the Holy, you think what you want to think and do what you want to do and whatever, whatever, whatever. God the Holy Ghost has already proven to me what the Word of God is, and I don't get in that kind of battle, and this lesson is not going to get in that kind of battle. I'm talking about a King James Bible. Just get you one and use it and find out for yourself. It's imperative that you use the Word of God in witnessing and leading souls to Christ. The salvation of a soul is the work of God, not you. Even though you're doing the laboring for the Lord, yes. Thus, you need to use the Word of God, the seed of God. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, the Bible says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is not only the seed, but it's also the sword. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. It's unnecessary for you to try to use logic and philosophy and theology and salesmanship when it comes to soul winning. Don't try to show them how smart you are in the Word of God, because most people don't know diddly squat about God's Word. Most of them will probably tell you something like, yeah, well, you know, Noah, they try to get you off, and, you know, just stay with God's Word, and God the Holy Ghost can use it, and He'll work on their hearts as you're talking. Just stay with God's Word. God's Word is what works in them. Now, you can get in conversations. Most of the time, people are going to try to get you away from the words, you'll see. When you're sitting there talking with them, they're going to try to divert you over here and divert you over here. And, well, what about Noah? You know, I'm wondering about, did Noah have a hole in his boat he had to pass? You know, some crazy stuff like that. And can God make a rock big enough he can't pick up? And all kind of craziness. But stay, always go back to the Word of God. You know, the Bible says, and keep quoting that Bible, and reading the Word of God, and get into the gospel and give them the gospel if they'll accept it. If they're ready, they're ready. Reap them. But don't try that philosophy stuff. Don't try to trick nobody into getting saved. Don't waste your time. Because there's no tricking nobody into God. God doesn't accept anybody that's tricking. That's in trickery and fakers and liars. And the Lord says when you come to Him, you got to believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. They got to be sincere, and they got to mean business when they come to the Lord. And there's certain things that got to be in their heart before they can get saved. One of them is that they know that they're a sinner. I had a woman one time when we was out soul winning, me and Brother Whitfield, and she sit there and listened attentively to everything I said about going to heaven and being saved. And I said, if Jesus would take you just like you are, would you accept him as your Savior? If he'd take you just like you are and save you and give you a home in heaven right now forever, would you accept him as your Savior? She said, yes. I said, well, then are you ashamed of God? She said, no. I said, then you wouldn't mind praying and asking the Lord to save you, would you? She said, no. I said, okay. I said, would you like me to lead you in a prayer? I said, it's not my prayer that's going to save you. It's going to be you talking to God sincerely from your heart. That's what God's waiting on, and what he will save you when you talk to him. She said, okay. I said, all right, well, let's do this. And we bowed our heads, and I said, dear Lord. And she said, dear Lord. And I said, I know that I'm a sinner. And then I said again, dear Lord. She said, dear Lord. I said, I know that I'm a sinner. And there's just dead silence. And she wouldn't say nothing. And I said, dear Lord. She said, dear Lord. I said, I know that I'm a sinner. And she looked up at me and she said, I ain't saying that. And I said, well, you can't be saved then. Because you won't admit you're a sinner. You got to be a sinner to get saved. And that's how we left. I left her a tract. I told her, you read this. And you figure it out. She said, I ain't saying it. Yeah. You're going to find a whole bunch of stuff like that when you go out. So you're going to find out. You're going to see. But don't try to trick people into it. Philosophy and theology and how smart you are and blah, 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 and try to use logic to win them. It ain't about all that. It's the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of Christ. The death, the burial, the resurrection. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the bottom line. That's how every one of us got saved. And that's how anybody else is going to get saved. You can't, and nobody's going to trick God into letting them into heaven. Nobody's going to manipulate the Lord at any time with their wisdom and their philosophy and their salesmanship and all blabbity blab. The Holy Ghost laughs at them for that. But the sincere ones, they listen. And you'll know them when you see them and when you talk to them. But when it comes to soul winning, just stick to the Word of God. The Word of God is what works. And it's not that it works, it's that it is alive. It's God's words. Now, that's the world's approach, but God's Word lives. The Bible says it does. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Which liveth and abideth forever. Now, we've talked about so far, four steps of soul winning, and we began with the first one, which was what? It was go. Go. Get out in the field. Figure out some way to do it. If you're going to pass out tracts, pass out tracts. If you're going to give your testimony out, give it out. Just somehow or another, get in the garden. Get out there and get ready to plant and sow something. And the second thing is realize is that you sow, but not only that you got to sow, but you got to sow good seed. And what is good seed? The Word of God. That's right. God's words. You can go out there and pass out all kind of pamphlets and give out candy and all the bus kids like that, but the bus kids are kids. They listen to you no matter what. And whatever's important to you is important to kids. But grown-ups are different. They've done learn too much of this world, and it takes a lot more spirituality to get to them. So there we go. And that's step two. So, and we're going to stop right there, but we're going to pick up where we left off right there about the sword of the Spirit and that God's word is God's word's alive. And we're going to start with how may I sow? How do you sow? And we're going to get some examples of how you can go out and sow the word of God and the seed, the good seed, the Lord said. Now, let me give you these scriptures, okay? See if I can remember where we were. All right. Psalm chapter 126, verse 6. Did you break your lid? Matthew chapter 13, verse 3 through 9. John chapter 4, verse 35 through 38. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 through 8. Psalm chapter 126, verse 6. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Acts chapter 5, verse 20. Psalm chapter 126, verse 6. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 through 25. And I think the next thing we're going to pick up here is, Ephesians. Did we read Ephesians? I don't think we did. Yes, we did. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. And we'll pick up from there on the next recording, okay? All right. Witnessing. Thank you so much for joining in today and taking the time and honoring the Lord, spending this little hour together. It's really going to mean this. These kind of hours like this are going to be very profitable to you in eternity. The Lord said, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things God hath prepared for them that love Him." I love Him, don't you? Well, thank you so much for joining in, brothers and sisters. The Lord be with you, and I'll talk to you on our next recording. We'll pick up there, and we'll say, How may I go? And we'll look at some things there. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I'll talk to you on the next lesson, okay? Bye-bye.